Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our living God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the gospel reading. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." In the name of Jesus, who alone seeks and saves the lost, my dear Christian friends. So what does the church need a reformation for anyway? It is because of the Word of God. If you see the words if, we are all in need of being saved. We are all needed to be called to true repentance, and therefore the necessity of the Reformation. Reading your gospel lesson, you will find that the Lord of the church speaks with two ifs. That's two times he uses the word if, if. He speaks these two ifs to the church. He says to those who had believed in him, so St. John writes, and so St. John writes to you. Jesus says, if all of you remain in my word, you are all truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then he says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. See, the church needed the Reformation in the 1500s with Dr. Luther, and the church needs a Reformation now in the 2000s. When there is no one who preaches as Luther preached, because the church always needs a Reformation. Because the Lord goes about saving sinners, things are always iffy. If you remain in my word, if the Son sets you free, the church, that is those who believe in Jesus, that would be you, are just as rotten sinners as anyone else in this world, and you are in need of salvation just as everyone in this world, and you are just as much in need of being called to repentance. And that is the reason why Jesus uses the word if. If is a very daunting word. It's daunting even in lesser issues or matters. You say to your kid, if you clean your room, then you can have a treat. So I guess you have to clean your room or you don't get a treat. Treats hinge upon the torture of picking up the filth all over your room and putting it in its place where you live and where you breathe. So what torture is Jesus laying on you today with these ifs in regards to your salvation? Oh, it's the worst torture for all people like you and me. It was clearly the worst torture imaginable to those Jews who had believed in Jesus, and it was the most painful of all agonies, was being asked of priests and popes and cardinals and bishops on that Halloween night in 1517 when a nobody priest named Luther nailed 95 theses to the door of the church. His theses asked for a debate. His theses asked for a discussion, a clarification, a meeting of the minds, so to speak. But oh, his theses were asking much more. So much more anguish than our poor children suffer when they have to pick up the junk in their rooms and clean them up. Martin Luther, a nobody, a genuine nobody, was calling the church to repentance. So the response of what? How dare you? Who do you think you are? What right do you have? Shut your mouth. Really, shut your mouth. Recant, or you will be excommunicated and a bull will be placed upon you. We will catch you. We will beat you. We will kill you. A price is on your head, Luther. They did many of those things. They were really upset and, as we say, worked up. The first of the 95 theses, and no, I'm not going to go through all 95. I'll save that for one of Strong's sermons. Is this. Our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, when he said, "Repent, all of you," willed that the whole life of believers should be repentance. That's what all the fuss was about. No surprise, when Jesus laid an if on these Jewish believers, they blew up also. "If you remain in my word, you are my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free," said Jesus. They should have penitently, humbly said, "Oh Jesus, we are slaves to sin. Set us free." Like that's going to happen. As if people like you and me would ever say something like that, admit that we are sinners, plead with the Savior to bear with us just a little bit longer, live and breathe inside his word, looking outside of us to the baptism, to the supper, to the absolution, where his word speaks comfort to poor sinners. Well, fat chance of that, huh? Instead, they rebelled, as expected. "We are Abraham's seed and have never been enslaved to anybody. How dare you say that we need to be set free?" This passage is always read at the Reformation in those few churches left in the world that remember that we were once called to repentance. This passage must have been a great comfort to Martin Luther, all alone, with everybody, it seems, in the world mad as hell at him. Men rejected the word of Jesus Christ, our Lord, when he called sinners to mourn their sinful ways. Why be surprised if the world rejected some low German monk? And why be surprised today? My dear friends, you of confessional Lutherans, the last ragtail end of Lutherans left in the whole world. I know I've been to 80 countries or more. Over what does the Lord call you, and what does he call me to repent of? If we are his believers, if we are his church, he will certainly be calling you to repent. Otherwise, we are not his church. So what is it that we have to repent of? It's a shame to have to bring this up. It's liable to make all of us angry, as in Jesus' day, as in the day of Dr. Luther. But it is the Reformation. Some sermon somewhere in the world needs to call someone to repentance. So why not us? Here are two items to get us rolling in regard to repentance, two important ones. You need to repent about his word, and you need to repent about faith. They both are together, inseparable, so to speak, and they are enough to both get us very upset. Repent regarding his word. The Lord tells you where his disciples will be found. His disciples will be found in his word. They will be found in his teaching, where our ears are hearing and our lips are confessing the holy gospel of the Lord. Yeah, most of us drag ourselves together on a church on a semi-regular basis. Got anything to repent of there? I do. But do we leave the word of God once we leave the building, assuming that we heroically made it to church for 1 hour out of 168 in a week, and you don't have to get out your phones to check it out? It's 168. Is the word of God where you live? Your salvation is in his word. If you run from his word, do not recite daily, as in our catechism, we will never be freed from our sin. If we do not teach his word to our children, to our families, to our spouses, to those we meet, what hope have they of salvation? If we sing God's praises for only a few minutes a month, but the rest of our days we fill our minds and our mouths with only wicked desires, we are not disciples, we are not Christians. We have no hope and are lost. Yeah, we sang that, the word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. Yeah, the Bible can hang around, but we don't care about it. Does that describe you or your children? Doesn't that describe us all? We all need to repent regarding the word. So, dear disciples, that is the glorious part of the Lord's message of repentance. For though we despise his word daily and much, he graciously places himself and his Father in his kingdom and forgiveness in his word. For his word does not only teach that you are sinners in need of repenting, his word most gloriously proclaims to you the gospel. And the gospel, the good news in his word, teaches you this, that though you are dreadful in sin, dead to God in his ways, deserving of eternal death and punishment, God the Father has given us his Son. That's why he came. As you remember, he didn't come because you're so great. His daddy told him to. His Son lived a life that counts in your place, a good life, a life in the word of the Lord. His Son suffered cruelly on the cross because you and I simply love to be bad. And now the Father counts that death of his Son as your death, as we ourselves have been punished, and now we are set free. And best of all, Jesus not only actually accomplished salvation for you in his life and death, but more than that, Jesus delivers that forgiveness to you in his word. That is why Jesus pleads with you sinners to remain in his word, not so that you can save yourselves somehow, but because God has placed salvation in his word, in the word spoken, in that absolution which you heard, in the promise included in your baptism, and the unbelievable words of hope that are located in, even today, this Holy Supper. Remain in his word. It means to remain where he is speaking peace and freedom and forgiveness to you for your sins, so that your sins plague you. You can cure the plague with the medicine you receive in his body and in his blood. And when you fall into bad ways and think dark thoughts again, the word located in his baptism, the word located all around you, the word you are in, still calls you his child. You really do need to repent and change your ways. That's not going to save you. What saves you is the promise of God that is located in your baptism. And so that brings us to the second item we need to look and repent over. That is, we need to repent regarding faith. You are taught in this world that faith is first of all, most of all, something that you have, something that you do, something that's going on inside of you. You are taught in this world falsely that if you only have strong enough faith to hold on to Jesus, enough faith, then you will be able to pull through anything. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, faith is not something, first of all, inside of you. Faith is, first of all, most of all, something that you are in. As the Lord Jesus says, if you remain in my word. So what does that mean? Luther quote. This shows how far we have fallen from the faith of Luther, the faith of the Reformation. By teaching us that faith is, first of all, something outside of us, Luther was saving us. Consider this. If the devil, and yes, there is one, if the devil points to you and calls you a sinner, what do you have to admit? If you are any Christian at all, you have to admit that the devil is right. You don't love God as you should. You don't love those around you as you should. And often you can't even stand to look at them. And for all of this, you should be beaten bloodily for all eternity. And that's what the devil will tell you. Why should you not be cast out of God's presence forever? You are a sinner. You stink. You deserve the worst. Where do you point then? Do you point to your own black sin, dark and hot heart, pleading that, oh, there's still a little bit of some faith that's in my heart? Dear disciples, dear Lutherans, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, repent. Make your life a whole life of repentance. Where do you look when your sins condemn you? Do you look inside yourself? The disciple, the Lutheran, points outside of himself. Yes, Satan, you're right. I am a sinner. That's me inside, through and through. But you forgot to look outside of me, Satan. For look on the outside. to what Jesus Christ has done, and all your blustering about me is for nothing. Scowl fierce as you will. The gospel, that tiny little message, will lay you low. I'm baptized. That is your boast. That is your faith. In the face of your sins, you were absolved this morning. That's outside. The delivery of forgiveness remaining in his word, which the Lord bids you to do. When sins plague us, as they should, salvation awaits at the Holy Supper, where he says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him, and I will raise him on the last day. True faith trusts the word of promise, the promise that we have a gracious God because of the good life and bitter death of Jesus, because Jesus brings to us his salvation in his word. So, the world may be full of devils, a lot of them preaching to us on TV and over the radio and in print, preaching their own words, the ways that you have to save yourself. But you've heard again the message of the Reformation, the message of the gospel, and now you have something that's right. You have salvation outside of you, meaning that it's salvation for sure. You have a faith in which you can live and breathe with freedom. You've heard that your sins are forgiven and forgotten by God because of Jesus. And when now your sins try to get the better of you, the word still will save you. You've been baptized into his name, called outwardly a child of God, perfect and pure and free. And when all else fails, your baptism is still in place. Remain in his word, and you will still be his disciple. The Son sets you free in the supper of freedom, giving you his flesh and his blood for your forgiveness, and you are free indeed. If you are a sinner, the Reformation is the happiest event you could ever hear retold, because the Reformation of the Church was always and only meant to be a proclamation that Christ has won salvation for us and now delivers that salvation to us in his word. So full circle, why does the church need a reformation? It's an impenitent question. The question is, why did the Lord ever bless us with Dr. Luther? Why did he bless us with his teaching and our catechism? And the answer is so that you can be found in his word. Jesus is such a savior. Jesus sets you free. In Jesus' name, amen.